Let's bring in our basketball analyst from Sportsnet.ca, the man who gave us the three-point Grange, Michael Grange. Did you enjoy that, Michael?
I did, and I got a lot of time for Jamal Murray, but I think he needs to invest in a Google machine. That'd be my advice. He's not the best Canadian basketball player of all time.
In 10 years, will that answer be Steve Nash?
It'll probably always be Steve Nash. Like, it could be Steve Nash for 100 years, and that's, look, I'm fully cognizant of how good Jamal Murray is and how good and how much potential and how many guys are coming up every year, as you guys pointed out off the top. But, you know, literally, it could be a century before another Canadian wins two NBA MVP awards and finishes top five all time in assists and all these kinds of things. So I think, I love it. I love Jamal Murray's confidence. I mean, that's what makes him a super unique player, even by NBA standards. Like, he has made a name for himself, probably beyond what he's accomplished as a player, because he's willing to put himself out there. He puts himself out there on the floor with the shots he's willing to take. He puts himself out there with the level of competitiveness and the kind of chippiness he plays with. And he always seems to be getting in the middle of things. And as, you know, Dan Patrick showed in his interview, he puts himself out there because he really, really believes in himself. But he's got a ways to go.
He's been great so far in this series with Denver and Portland too as well. Michael, let me throw this at you. And talking about, you know, who's the GOAT, and from a Canadian standpoint, is it possible to be the GOAT on a franchise if you only play one season for them, with what we are seeing for Kawhi Leonard right now?
That's a good question. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the best player who's ever played for the Raptors. And if you want to get into the Raptors' best all-time player and all these other kinds of things, and we can start fiddling around with, you know, longevity and different kind of contributions and measurements of that stuff. But there's never been a player who's, you know, played for a Toronto team. And I you could almost argue that outside of, you know, the Gretzky-era Oilers, and maybe, you know, what Patrick Roy did in 93 when the Habs won the Stanley Cup, the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup, this is as good a playoff performance as anyone's ever put in any sport for a Canadian franchise. You know, like, he's got to keep it going, but that's the level he's playing at right now. Is, you know, if you remember back in those Oiler years and Gretzky was, you know, putting up 2.5 points a game in the playoffs and things like that. Like, that's where Kawhi Leonard is right now. He is absolutely at historic levels of production. And there's certainly been no rapper to ever approach it. And like I said, I think you have to start looking outside into other sports for comparables for another Canadian-based athlete.
And basketball is such, though, you know, sometimes you just give them the ball and they can handle it. We watch it every night with James Harden. Does Kawhi make his teammates better, Michael?
That's he does, because he helps them win games. I think you have touched on something where that is still something he's developing a little bit, is the ability to make that microsecond decision as to when he's going to, you know, finish a play for himself or recognize that there's another play to be made. And that's, you know, that's maybe the only distinction between him and the very, you know, LeBron James, Michael Jordan at his peak. And part of the reason for that is Kawhi Leonard is kind of new at this. Like, this is a guy who, you know, his first 3-4 years in the NBA was a pure role player. He was a superstar as a role player, won an MVP, NBA Finals MVP as a role player, a kind of 3-and-D type guy, locked up LeBron James in the NBA Finals. But it's only been the last 3 or 4 years that he's been, you know, what he is now, is a primary offensive weapon who's charged with winning games. And so that's the one little level he still has to get to, where he can truly be a playmaker who can kind of make those tiny decisions that are in the moment. It's not like he's bad at it, but it's somewhere he can get better. And, And it would help, of course, if any of the Raptors could hit some of the shots when he does make plays for them.
Well, speaking of which, Michael Grange with us here on Sportsnet 650, talking all things Raptors Sixers here as Game 5 set to go later on this evening. And this depth that Toronto has boasted about all year long, there's been wild inconsistency. Like, this bench has kind of gone MIA, and not just the bench, like kind of the supporting cast around Kawhi. This almost reminds me of that episode of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air going back to the 90s here, Michael. Remember that? Give the ball to Will, right? Give the ball to Will. It's kind of like Kawhi against everybody right now.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reference.
Very obscure reference there.
You know? But
how
is
a hit show obscure?
Well, you knew an episode. I mean, it's not Happy Days or something.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, you know, and that guy, there's a couple of things to unpack there. One is, I think there's just some bad matchups for the Raptors bench versus the Sixers bench. The Sixers end up with some really big wings off the bench, and the Raptors are pretty small after Serge Ibaka with Norm Powell and Fred VanVleet. So there's some problems there. But I also think that there is a little bit of this team is a very new team. It's only really been put together since the trade deadline in February. And so sometimes there is still some chemistry developing where that kind of decision between, you have your Marc Gasols and Kyle Lowry's and the other guys on the floor going, well, Kawhi's got it going. We're just going to stand back and give it to him. And well, really, what they should be doing at time is being super aggressive with the space that Kawhi creates so that, the defenses can't load up on Kawhi too much. And there's just that kind of comfort zone that super elite teams develop almost, it becomes unconscious. And the Raptors are still trying to figure it out almost game by game, quarter by quarter. The good news is, they're winning games as they do it. And, they proved it again in game four. And now they got a big test tonight, game five.
Well, yeah. And if we were here on a Philadelphia radio station, we'd go, hey, they're 2-2 and their best player's been battling the flu for the last couple of games. I mean, there's nothing done about this series, is there, Michael?
Not at all. I mean, I think it's I think the Raptors are in good position. I think they do win this series, but it's sort of unfolding as I anticipated. And the NBA playoffs are really, a lot of people tell you, it really just comes down to talent, because at this stage of a playoff series, every team knows every nuance of each other's plays and sets and everything else. So really, almost every time down the floor, things break down and you're left to individual kind of spontaneous decision making. And the Sixers are, maybe 1-6 or 1-7. They might be the more talented team. But what the Raptors have is they have Kawhi, who is for sure the best player, and they have a little bit more veteran playmaking savvy. And so if that's enough to overcome a Joel Embiid and a Ben Simmons and a Jimmy Butler, and you kind of go on down that list, then the Raptors will survive here. But I think the thing they got to be concerned about is the one game in the series, Joel Embiid felt good. He was awesome. He was maybe the best player on the floor, not named Kawhi Leonard. And so if he can get his legs back under him, he's a tough player to control.
Michael, appreciate you doing this. Big one tonight. Thanks for getting up early with us and hanging out. And just for both you and Perry, Kellen Tochkin on the other side of the glass has this to share for both of you guys here this morning and our listeners.
So here's the plan. Cardwell, you inbound to Hunt. Okay, Hunt, what do you do?
Shoot for the three-pointer.
Very funny. That'll be 10 laps, Chowderhead. Now, what's the right answer?
Pass it to Will.
All right. Now, let's do it.
I think this says more about your childhood than
give the ball to
Michael
Will. It was the 90s. It was like 30 years ago. Anyway, I digress. Thanks for playing, Mike.
That was some epic radio. Thank you.
There he is, Michael Grange. Sportsnet 650.